Hello, everyone. Welcome back. This is Casey. I'm running solo this afternoon, which is appropriate because I want to focus on the Brute solo scenario, which I just finished up for my Brute in the campaign. So last session, we finally hit the requirements to run the solo scenarios by hitting City Prosperity level 3. My Brute is level 6, though technically you can run them as early as level 5 if you have the Prosperity level 3 at that point. I would recommend waiting until level 6, though, simply because they are challenging scenarios. And whether you're character level 5 or character level 6, you'll be facing level 3 enemies. So waiting until level 6 just gives you a few more perks, will make it slightly easier for you to do those solo scenarios. And now, if you're not familiar with the solo scenarios, each class has their own solo scenario that are designed to be challenging, to kind of challenge your knowledge of the class. And by completing this scenario, you get a special item reward that is very useful for that class. If you need to find those scenarios, the easiest way to find it is to go to the Gloomhaven subreddit. There's a post at the top that says, "New to Gloomhaven, read first, volume 2. Scroll down a bit under General Resources Official. These solo scenarios are there. There's also a PDF down there for the item rewards that you get from completing these quests. So yeah, like I said, I'm doing it with the Brute, and it is, like the PDF says, it is a tough scenario. If you look at it, so you're actually returning back to Black Barrow, which you do in scenario number 1. And if you look at the setup you get for this challenge, it's the exact same setup that is given for 2-player parties. So being expected to complete this just by yourself shows you how challenging this can be. So the book recommends prepping, kind of looking at the scenario first, getting ready for it, making sure you select your cards and equipment appropriately. Now, I personally just kind of ran with my current build. I didn't see a need to swap things up too much. So before we really get started, I will run through the cards that I'd use real quick and then also talk about the items I'm using. It's important to focus on them all because they will all come into play throughout the scenario. Once we do that, I'll dive into kind of, I'm not going to give a direct play-by-play of what I did to defeat it, but I want to kind of hit the big highlights and the general strategies you need to employ in each room. So for my 10 cards, I've got Leaping Cleave, which is a level 1 card. It's got that nice 2-hex attack 3 on the top. Also generates an XP, which you can keep experience points and gold you earn in these scenarios. So keep that in mind. And then you get the Move 3 with a jump on the bottom that generates the wind. You've got your Spare Dagger with the attack 3, range 3, and generates experience on top. Attack 2 on bottom, and a really nice initiative value. Trample, which has the attack 3, pierce 2 on top, which can come in handy here because both the Elite Bannock Guard and the Living Bones have shield. So that'll help punch through that. And then, of course, you've got the fun Move 4 jump with attack 2 on all enemies move through on the bottom. I actually use this, I think, more than most people, and I've got some items that help make that better. But it is situational, and it is a loss card, so you'll use that later on. Early in the scenario, we'll just use it for its pierce. Balance Measure is great. All we're really going to use it for here is the attack X up top, where X is the number of hexes you can move. You should be able to get some nice 5 and 6 damage attacks out of this card easily during the scenario. Skewer, which has a move 6 at a loss on bottom, which is great for later on. We can pair it with our Balance Measures. Then it's got the attack 3 across 2 hexes up top, and then you can use a wind, which we can generate with Leaping Cleave to get another plus attack and pierce. And again, there are a few things with shield in here, so that pierce can come in handy. Then for the level 2 card, I run Juggernaut, which is move 2, attack 2 up top. Gives us a little bit of flexibility there in our movement. And then later in the scenario, we'll use its bottom to negate 3 sources of damage. Brute Force is my level 3 card. It's got the nice 3-hex attack 2 and muddle up top. So that could be useful. And depending on how like the first room shakes out, that could be useful to use to kind of mitigate some damage. And it's got the move 2, shield 1 at the bottom, which also helps you mitigate damage. This is going to be the first card we lose, so just kind of use it as appropriate in the early rooms. Unstoppable Charge is our fourth level card. It's got that attack five up top, just really solid. It's going to get a lot of damage in for us. You've got the move four stun all adjacent enemies on the bottom. You could potentially use this the end to get a nice stun and then follow that up with a balance measure for a nice attack six, you know, if you're using your Boots of Striding. Skirmishing Maneuver is a level five card. It's got attack two, move two, attack two on top. It's got attack three, range three on bottom and a nice initiative. And then I also used the level five card Whirlwind. Great initiative. Move four, push three, target one adjacent enemy on the bottom, which we're going to use a lot in this scenario. And then attack four, targeting all adjacent enemies, and you gain one experience for each enemy targeted. That's at a loss on the top, which will be great for to use later on. If you notice, I run two level five cards. That's because I felt like both level five cards are better than the cards at level six. So I just bypass those. So I run both of those. Skirmishing Maneuver is really flexible. It has a really great bottom. And then Whirlwind has a fantastic move. And then has a really, it can be a game changer up top if you need it. So now that we've looked at the cards, let's look at the equipment real quick. And again, so we're Prosperity level 3. So I have upgraded my kit to Prosperity level 3 items. So I've got the Chainmail. Gives you shield 1 on 3 attacks. And you can refresh that on a long rest. Boots of Striding, of course. I feel like every brute needs Boots of Striding. Gives you +2 move on a single movement. And again, it recharges on a long rest. Major Healing Potion. Heal 5 self once in the encounter. That's great for this encounter. You're going to be taking damage. Even though we start with 20 hit points and we have some good damage mitigation, being able to heal for 5 in here just gives you 5 extra hit points to go around. Then I have Minor Power Potion, which is +1 attack on your entire attack action. And I've got a Warhammer, which adds a stun on your entire attack action if that attack action is a melee attack. So I run both of those to basically empower a couple of my heavy hitting cards. It is fantastic for Trample, the bottom of Trample, where you do the move four jump on attack two on everything you target. If you pop your boots, you pop your power potion, and you pop your Warhammer, you've got the potential to do attack threes against 5 different enemies, then stun them all if they're still alive, and then you still have a top to follow up with, which will be empowered still from the power potion. You've got another top attack you could follow up with after all that movement. Potentially a balance measure for like an attack 7. So it can be really powerful. Another card we can use this with is Whirlwind at the end to kind of empower that instead if we'd want to. Or you could even combine the two, which is real great. So yeah, that's a good rundown of the cards we've got going on here. I've got two other cards I do have in my kit right now. Both of these are specialty cards. You kind of found them various ways, rewards for events and scenarios and the like. So I'll talk about them briefly. And so if you're afraid of being spoiled on that, feel free to tune out for a second. I'll give you the names of them first, and then I'll do a quick pause, and then we'll go into what they do. I've got the Doomed Compass, and I've got the Necklace of Teeth. The Doomed Compass is simply, I can go up to range 5, pick an enemy, and have it perform a move 2, and I control that action. That'll be useful in this scenario for potentially moving things into better attack patterns, or archers have the ability to throw down traps, and there are a couple traps in the scenario. You could have somebody walk into a trap. And then Necklace of Teeth. Anytime you get a kill, you perform a heal 1 self action, which is pretty huge in this scenario. There are 10 enemies in this scenario. That's, you know, it'll end when you kill the last guy. So that's basically a potential of 9 additional hit points you get, which is going to be huge when you're having to soak up all the damage. So now that we've kind of covered the loadout, let's go ahead and jump into, I want to take it just room by room and give you a rundown of the strategies I employed in those rooms to find success in this scenario. So this first room, you've got 3 bandit guards, one of which is an elite. So my strategy going through here. So my strategy going through here was to kind of go all out in every room. So ideally, you're long resting after each encounter in these first two rooms, and you've got plenty of cards to do that with. But if things don't go quite right, you might have to, you might miss that, right? You might stay in a room too long, but ideally what you want to do is long rest at the end of each one. That's going to refill your boots, refill your chainmail. And because that's our goal, is to long rest in each room, go ahead and use those both in each room. So what I would recommend doing is what I did on the, for an opening attack in this first room, because you've got the bandits kind of clustered around that door there, right? Go ahead and open up with the bottom of Whirlwind and the top of Balanced Measure. So the nice thing about that is you're going to go really fast. 28 initiative is pretty fast for the guards. There are a few things the guards can do where they don't move, but they do some attacks and poisons and stuff, or they kind of shield up. They can do those, they go really fast on. So they'll go before you in those cases, but then you're just avoiding attacks, which is nice for the whole turn. Or we're going to go in here and try to break things up with a heavy attack and using that push on the bottom of Whirlwind to try to mitigate the damage we're taking here. So go ahead and use that move four, but go ahead and pop your boots and just go ahead and move around and get your six movement. And then go into a hex that's adjacent to both a normal bandit and the elite bandit. Use the push on the elite bandit to push him into the far corner. Now, his movement's still good enough that he can, on a move plus zero, he can still get back to you. But if it's a case where he gets a couple of, if he gets a move minus one, or if he gets one of the abilities where he doesn't move, he's now away from you for a couple turns. And that's important because we want to focus on the non-elites first, because they're all going to be hitting you. The non-elites are a lot easier to kill. And so if we go ahead and take those guys out, we're not getting wailed on by extra people while we're still trying to finish off the elite. And then that's going to give you an attack six on one of the normal bandit guards. Attack six is really nice there. They have nine health. So you're going to get them close to death. But if you get lucky, if you draw a crit or you draw a plus three out of your deck, you just kill them immediately. And that's actually, I got lucky and I drew a crit on my first attack against one of these guards. Went ahead and totally killed him, pushed the elite to the corner, and then I only have two guys left to deal with. After that, opening shot is kind of up in the air. You know, you're just going to have to, a number of things can kind of happen depending on how the cards play out, right? If you've got a couple guys grouped together, Leaping Cleave's great. If you end up kind of grouped up around all of them, you might want to use Brute Force to muddle them to negate some damage. Of course, you've got Unstoppable Charge is a really solid attack. You might want to save it for the Elite. Top of Trample, definitely save that for the Elite. It's got the Pierce. If you can, if it makes sense to, save the Leaping Cleave for a bottom move, because it'll let you, especially if you pair it up with a faster attack, like you can go Spare Dagger with it. You can maybe go Juggernaut with it or Skirmish Maneuver with it. So that way you've got some fast movement. And then based on what the enemies are going to do, you can either jump to get into a good attack position or you can jump backwards. Right. So you could jump backwards to get out of melee and then maybe follow up with a Spare Dagger or something like that. But the nice thing about that, if you were to jump back a couple hexes, throw a Spare Dagger, you then have wind for the next turn, and you can use Skewer if you're in a good position for that attack four Pierce. Anyway, just you've got a number of hard-hitting single shots, and you've got a number of decent-hitting kind of two or three hex attacks. Just use them in a smart way to try to defeat these enemies as quickly as possible. And again, go ahead and go kind of all out on any of your renewable items, because you'll be getting those, you know, back once we long rest here. And don't be afraid to take a little bit of damage, because again, with the Necklace of Teeth and the long rest, you've got a potential of five hit points you're gaining back here. And also, we've got the major healing potion. I would recommend using that when you're around, I don't know, 10 hit points or so, because we are able to kind of regain some life through that necklace of teeth. If you get that low, like if you hit 10, you're not going to fill back up all the way. So at that point, you could probably do even around 12. At that point, it's probably safe to go ahead and pop that healing potion just to get those hit points back. But you definitely want to rest here at the end of this room before we go kicking in the door on the second room. And so the second room has two traps in front of that door, which is actually fantastic for us in this scenario. And then right in front of those traps, we have the normal bandit guards and we have the elite archer in the back. You want to open up this room much like you did with the last room. So you want to go ahead and use once again your whirlwind move on the bottom to come into this room, because you want to use that push. So if you go and stop right in, go to the hex that's adjacent to both of the bandit guards, you can use that push to push the left guard through both traps, which is enough to kill him. So that's just a free kill right there. Really nice way to start off the room. And then you're adjacent to the other guard. So you could do, you know, what we did last room is we went ahead and popped our boots here and got a move six there and then did balance measure. You could do that. I would actually save that, though. Go ahead and just do probably the unstoppable charges, attack five on the bandit there, because you're going to need to get back. That the archer's got a lot of good cards, so the archer's not going to try to move towards you, so you're going to need to get back there. And with where you're stopping next turn, assuming you're not immobilized — that is one annoying thing about these archers, they can immobilize you, which can really muck up your plans — but assuming you're not immobilized, you can pop your boots with the bottom of Leaping Cleave the next turn or the turn after, because you still need to take care of this bandit down here. There's a couple ways to do that. You could go ahead and just finish him up and then jump up to the archer. You could go ahead and jump to the archer and let him chase, or jump to the archer and throw a dagger back at that bandit if you got a positive attack modifier card on him on that last attack. But using your boots with the move three jump from Leaping Cleave will get you right up to the archer, which is great, because then the archer, you've got a good chance of either going ahead and putting the archer at disadvantage or backing her into a corner where she'll be permanently at disadvantage. So yeah, go ahead and save your boots for that jump to close the gap quickly on the archer once you've taken care of the bandit. Once you've kind of closed the gap on the archer, it's just a matter of time of kind of chewing through her. Hopefully the disadvantage works in your favor and you can mitigate some of the damage she's doing. And hopefully you avoid getting immobilized before you get up there to her. But yeah, go ahead and take care of the two guys up front first. Then once you're done with her, try to position yourself where you're close to the door. I believe I actually had to rest once before I ended up killing her. And I chose to go ahead and just do a long rest because she's not dealing that much damage. You still, like at that point, I had her at disadvantage. You're going to get the two health. It just resets all your items and gives you control of all your cards. What cards are you going to lose? So whether you have to do that long rest mid round or not, definitely you want a long rest before you open the door. Because I had to go through a couple more cards, I was to the point where I wanted a long rest actually a third time before going, a third time total in the scenario, second time in that room before going through the final door. So what I did was position myself as close to that door as I could. And then on my final turn, before I long rested, because I had long rested, remember my boots are back up because I long rested while in combat with the archer, I went ahead and used those boots and a move four, basically opened the door and then ran as far away from the door into the corner of the room, the second room, as possible, so that the living corpses and the archers would have to come to me. And the reason I want them to come to me was A, that gives me a chance to do another long rest while they're moving in. So that's like a free turn, basically, and they're still kind of closing the gap. B, they're going to bunch up some, especially in my case, the living corpses didn't move one turn, or the living bones did not move one turn, and so they really bunched up with the archers. And it lets you kind of see how things are laying out and plan for that as they come in, because we've still got a couple of really nice area of effect attacks coming in, right? And so you can get them all bunched up, maybe use the doomed compass if you need to get them into position where you want to. And then once they get up close to you, you can start kicking off with, you know, you can do a couple of heavy hits if you want to go ahead and whittle them down. The living bones have shield, but they don't have a ton of hit points. So if you want to do a move up and a hard hit to kind of weaken a couple of them, you can, depending on what their actions are. But at the end of the day, what you're going to want to do is you want to pop your boots. You're going to want to, ideally, you'll be able to pop your boots, pop your power potion, and then use the bottom of trample, followed by the top of whirlwind. And that's a whole lot of damage coming down in a single turn. And if you still have your hammer, you'll be stunning them as well. And plus, you still have your heavy hitters, right? You still have your bounce measure. You still have your unstoppable charge. You have plenty of, at this point, you will have plenty of cards left to mop up anybody who's still alive. One note on the Warhammer, I like to save it for those attacks, but I ended up using it here when I was fighting the elite bandit guard in the first room is where I used my Warhammer. It was just a situation where he was going to get a pretty good hit on me. He was going to hit me for 4 or 5, it looked like, and I just decided to go ahead and use it and just mitigate that damage there. So I didn't have the Warhammer here, but I was dealing out enough damage to pretty much cripple everything. I think there was one thing left with a couple of hit points at that point. It's easy cleanup. So even burning both cards late with Whirlwind and Trample, I still ended the scenario with 11 hit points, I believe, and 4 cards in hand. So I felt like that's a pretty comfortable win. Now, I will say I used that same strategy both times I went through it. The first time I went through it, I failed. And it was a situation on that one where I would have won on that last turn. I would have won if I went first in initiative. I was on an initiative 28. The archers went on a 44. The living bones went on a 20. It was like their one fast card. The reason that one was a lot closer was some bad card draws in a lot of sense. So with as tight as this is, some bad card draws can really screw you. So for the first run through, for example, I never did draw my crit. I drew my negate on an attack 5, which really hurt in that situation. And I got crit for 7 very early on, and I had to toss a card to prevent that damage, which, you know, comes back to bite you eventually. Whereas compare that with the second scenario, I drew a crit right off the bat, which killed an enemy immediately. I never drew my negate. And when I did get crit by an enemy, it was only for like 4. And so that's a couple of cards made that big of a swing. But I feel like that's a pretty effective strategy going through there. I felt like I was in control the entire time. Now, granted, I'm aware not everybody is going to have the Necklace of Teeth. And that's, I got a couple of kills before I lost health. But I mean, we're still 5 or 6 free health in the encounter. So without that, I still would have won, but things would have been tighter. So anyway, that's a quick run through of this scenario. And of course, you get the imposing blade as a reward, which I won't actually go into that at all because there's no reason to spoil what that is. It is pretty useful. It's a weapon that's pretty useful. Pairs nicely, actually, with that Necklace of Teeth. But then again, the decision has to be made. Do you use that or do you use Warhammer? At least for me. But it's a cool weapon. And even if you don't use it, you can sell it back to the the town, and another character might want to use it, or another brute later on might want to use it. So it's worthwhile playing this scenario just for the challenge. You do get the reward, which is pretty nice, and you get to keep any XP, gold, check marks, all that stuff that you gain. So yeah, at the end of the day, I enjoyed it. It was fairly challenging, you know, by the case that it took me 2 tries to get through there, should say something. But a lot of fun, and hopefully this kind of breakdown of my strategy some people can find helpful. And I'd actually be curious too if other people take completely different strategies going through here. I know a lot of it will depend on cards, but I would say for me, hands down, being able to get all those pushes with Whirlwind, and then following that up with some strong unstoppable charges and balanced measures is really what was helping me get through this. Oh, I also mentioned the final long rest I did I long rested as the third room was coming towards me. Right before that, I popped Juggernaut's bottom to help me mitigate 3 sources of damage. So that helped soak up some attacks at the end too, just to make sure you have the stopping power there at the end. So yeah, again, hopefully you all found that helpful to some degree, or at least interesting. I really enjoy the solo scenario. I'm looking forward to being able to do more in the future. And I've got a couple of party members who are Skip's Mind Thief is level 5 or about to hit level 6, I think, as well. And I know he's itching to do it. And the other guy's a little bit lower level right now, but they're definitely interested in giving these a go as well. So hopefully we'll get some more of these out for you guys soon. Thanks for listening. You've been listening to Misadventures, a Gloomhaven podcast brought to you by Gamer Public Radio. Please join us every Friday for new episodes at misadventurespodcast.com or find us on your podcast application of choice. Music for this podcast is provided by Kevin McLeod. For more of Kevin's work, please check out incompetech.com. See you next time.